Thanks for listening to 91.3 FM KDIA. Tonight on Thinking Out Loud, we travel to learn about some of North Missouri's labor and environmental history. My name is Trevor Harris. Drive north about 100 miles from Columbia on Highway 63 and you'll reach Kirksville, the county seat of Adair County. As Kirksville has grown and evolved, so has the fortunes of its neighboring communities. That includes Novinger in western Adair County. I've long heard about the coal mining boom that happened in Novinger, so I thought, why not make some radio about that? Join me for a history lesson tonight and a peek at the future. In the next half hour, we'll hear from citizens of a former coal mine boom town who are keeping their history alive and working to revitalize a town that boomed, then went bust with coal in the early 20th century. That's this week on Thinking Out Loud. Head west out of Kirksville on Missouri Highway 6. Area locals would tell you, just turn left at the Walmart. You'll pass the entrance to Thousand Hills State Park, cross the Sheraton River, and after 8 miles out of Kirksville, you're in Novinger. The town sits on a series of hills just west of the Sheraton River as that water body snakes its way from north to south to eventually join the Missouri River just west of Glasgow. The Missouri Department of Transportation population sign when you enter the city of Novinger says that 470 residents dwell there. In 1920, it was over 1,700. The town was built as a speculative venture at the turn of the 20th century by John C. Novinger. A History of Adair County is a book that recounts how early white settlers in the area encountered Native Americans hunting and fishing in the area's hilly woods and the tributaries of the Sheraton River. Whites first settled western Adair County as early as 1829 when a series of cabins were built along the river just outside modern-day Novinger. Despite ceding the lands in 1824, an Iowa chief, Monongahela, who was also known as Big Neck, didn't understand or care that a piece of paper now denied him hunting privileges on his ancestral lands. Misunderstandings being what they are sometimes, a skirmish ensued with some of Big Neck's followers and the whites. Three whites and at least three Indians were killed in the melee. A later trial at Huntsville in Randolph County ultimately found Big Neck innocent of inciting an unprovoked attack upon the whites. Undeterred, more whites came in time to settle the rich lands in North Missouri. A commemorative plaque now marks the area near the Sheraton River, a few miles outside of the city of Novinger, where these early European Americans' cabins stood. Unofficial town historian Glenna Daniels Young invited me to her home just outside of town. Her husband Danny is a retired Novinger postmaster. Like many people I met while visiting Novinger, Glenna works out of town, in Kirksville, as executive director of a regional rural health network. I asked her to tell me how and when the town of Novinger originally came to be settled.
This immediate area was really settled about 1830s or so, but Novinger itself, the families came to this area in the 1840s. So the first settlement was formed about 2.5 miles southeast of what we know as Novinger along the Sheraton River, and that was 8 years after Missouri actually became a state. And it wasn't until several years later that a number of people came to the immediate Novinger area. The Isaac Novinger family came in 1847 and came here because his brother-in-law was here in the area and they spent the winter there with them. And then they purchased some land and that is the area that became the town of Novinger, where the town of Novinger is located now. He actually traded that land with his cousin John C. Novinger, so that is who the town of Novinger is actually named for. John donated land in order to have a depot built there named after him. That was a request.
So when did the railroad come through?
Well, the town was plotted in 1878 by John C. Novinger because he knew the railroad was coming through Kirksville and coming westward at that time. That was the Quincy, Missouri and Pacific Railroad. In October of 1878, the Quincy, Missouri and Pacific Railroad had reached Novinger, and then it wasn't until January of 1879 that the post office was established here.
Relative to rail development in mid-Missouri, railroads reached Columbia just over 10 years earlier. It was in 1867 that the Columbia Branch Railroad was completed. This connected Columbia to the North Missouri Railroad, where it ran through Centralia. Columbia got a spur to the Missouri-Kansas-Texas Railroad in 1902. That rail corridor is, of course, now the MKT Trail that starts at Columbia's Flat Branch Park and runs southwest almost 9 miles to McBain and the cross-state Katy Trail. Back to Novinger, though. Again, here's Glenna Young.
They actually had to clear a lot of land just to be able to do any farming in this area. But the railroad ties was really, and mine timbers was the first, if you will, jobs, what built the economy in the area, because it's the first thing they were really able to sell to someone else.
So it's interesting that coal mining also, a very extractive industry, Novinger has provided a lot of resources for other places over time. When the railroad came through, did the town have an automatic growth spurt right after that?
No, not really. In 1883, John Porter sank the first coal mine shaft in Novinger. And then in 1894, the OK coal mine shaft was sunk by the Stroop brothers just west of Novinger on Davis Creek. So that's when really things started to build up. The large mines then built from that, from the 1890s to the 1900s, there were several large mining operations that opened up in the area, and then that brought lots of immigrants and people of different nationalities to this immediate area.
What ethnicities were those people? Where did those mining laborers and their families come from?
Well, a lot of those were Italians, Croatians, Scottish, Polish, English, and Irish. And a lot of times they would come in families to this area. Like if someone came over and they were successful in securing a job and able to save some money and bring their families over, then say their brother or their brother-in-law or someone else of their relatives would come to this area too, because they were all looking for jobs.
How many mines were there at the peak?
There's 53 recorded mines in the immediate area.
When did the mining here end and why?
Things started playing out, I guess you'd say, about the 1930s, the Depression era, and then also, too, the demand for coal declined. And it had a major effect on our economy in this area. So, say in 1920, the population was 1,743, and by the 1930, it had dropped to 846. So it was less than half of the residents in a 10-year period of time. The Iowa and St. Louis, the one that ran north and south, ceased all the operations in 1947. It had not expanded either direction as far as they originally hoped it would. They ran out of capital, and then the need for the trains declined before they extended on the directions they had hoped to. And I know south of Novinger, or south of the mines, had already closed out a little earlier, but it actually left Novinger in 1947. And then the east-west train, which by then had been renamed the OK Railroad, pulled out in 1950 for the last time. So both of those were before I was born.
I read in my book of Adair County history that there was brickmaking here. Was there a refractory here where they were digging clay and making the bricks right in town?
Right. Most of the bricks in this immediate area, the buildings were homemade, handmade bricks. They just had kilns. I'm not familiar with any brick making factory or anything like that, but they were the soft brick, and that's a lot of the reason that we've lost the buildings in town. They were a soft brick instead of a hard brick, so with time they just deteriorated, and with the economy playing down, people didn't take care of things like they would have if things were still going good, and so then it just caused the demise of the buildings early.
Coal went bust in Novinger.
It did. It did, and it took a lot of people away from the area to go find jobs, and so we didn't see, you know, the population that we had before.
You're listening to 91.3 FM, KBIA. I thank you for that. My name is Trevor Harris. This is Thinking Out Loud. This week, we visit Novinger in western Adair County in North Missouri as a means to feed my and hopefully your curiosities about Missouri history. You just heard from Glenna Daniels Young. The Novinger native talked with me recently about the history of her town, a town that has, like many North Missouri communities, been losing population steadily since the 1920s. The current mayor of Novinger is Jeff Donson. He moved to town in 1979 after high school and has stayed fairly close ever since. I met the mayor at City Hall. Since a space heater and a nearby conversation at the former water plant turned City Hall building echoed loudly off the painted blue cinder block walls, we moved over to Mayor Donson's church, which was quiet on a Monday morning. One of the first things you notice when you arrive in Novinger is that the streets are not paved. Also notable are the series of dilapidated houses that pepper the small town. Both of these factors are owing to the disinvestment that has occurred in the North Missouri community over the last 70 years at a slow rate since coal stopped being mined in and around Novinger. The decay was exacerbated, locals tell me, by a 2009 tornado that ran through town and a 2011 series of still unresolved fires that destroyed several century-old brick buildings along Novinger's primary commercial street.
Well, we're a bedroom community of the city of Kirksville, and residents that lived here primarily work in the Kirksville area. And there's wasn't a lot of commerce. Of course, we've got our farming community, which is really strong, and we have the Adair County R1 school system, which is here, which employs several people in our community. But besides that, we do not have a lot of employment base while we remain a small bedroom community. We had a lot of residents over the years that had just moved out of the community. One of the things that happened within the community that doesn't get noted is a lot of the properties have been inherited by absentee owners. And so there's not a lot of motivation to keep those properties up. And over the years, they've weathered and they're not livable anymore. So those homes are being taken out, new ownership is coming in, and that's really starting to improve the situation.
In doing my research, I read that some of the housing stock in Novinger was manufactured housing that was put together for miners and would be moved from mining camp to mining camp, town to town. And then a lot of houses, old houses in Novinger remained from the mining days. Quite a few had been moved to Kirksville. Are some of the houses that you're demoing now, do they date to that era?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they're the early 1900s homes, and there's a lot of those that are still left in our community. So it's really a shame to see the architecture that was in those homes. It's, you know, it's reached a point where they're not salvageable, but it is kind of a heartbreak to see some of those beautiful old homes come down. But at the same time, if we want to rebuild our community, it was time just to get them out of our way.
So when the utilities are cut and capped and the lot is scraped bare for the first time in 100 years or 80 years,
wow.
What's the goal for that lot? What do you envision those? How many are you going to have? Like about 20 new vacant lots in town?
Yes.
What's going to happen on those lots?
What will happen on those lots is this was totally a voluntary program that involves a property owner, and they still own the property. So more than likely over the years there's going to be some rebuilding, but for right now it's just a beautification project to clean up the town so that the residents that are here now do not have structures that are basically debris sites next door to their homes, which is bringing a lot of pride and a sense of accomplishment back into our community.
Is there any talk of people rebuilding structures on those sites, or will adjacent property owners buy them up over time just to have bigger yards? Has that any of that come up?
Yes, there's there is talk of construction going on properties next door to where a lot of these properties are coming down. But currently, I don't have any set plans as far as where these residences are coming down at. But what it has done is open up the area around it. Other property owners are thinking, hey, now that my block is cleaned up, I'm thinking about building a new home here, which is exactly what we want to shoot for so that we can begin to restore the community. What is happening within our community is a lot of younger families are moving in our community that have got children, and not to say that our population is being replaced, but we do have a lot of older folks that have lived here for a lot of years that know our community. As those folks sell or move on to other places, there's a lot of younger families that are beginning to move into our community, and so that's who we're trying to build our community around. And one of the things that we've done, at least here at West Sheraton Fellowship, at our church, and I know that our other community churches are the same, is that it brings a place where folks can blend age-wise, from children all the way up to folks that have lived here all their life. And it just brings, we really have a sense of community here in our church. We specifically made it a goal when we started our fellowship that we were going to be a church that was folks that lived right here in Novinger, and I think we've attained that, and it's been really good for friendship and family building right here in our community.
there's also, I'm assuming, still people here who have just aged in place. They've always lived in Novinger out on a farm nearby, and they continue to be here just because they can and they love it here.
Yes. I mean, the folks that have lived here all of their life love Novinger. They have a real sense of pride in the town that they grew up in and the memories that they have with their grandparents and so on and so forth. And I'm kind of in that situation where my grandma and granddad was here for all of their life, for the most part. My grandmother was the mayor of the city of Novinger for 13 years and actually went through the process in the 1970s of bringing a lot of new things into the community while she was doing this job. And so I kind of picked up on the pride that she had in this community, and this is just a place that I love to call home.
What was your grandma's name?
Juanita Summers.
Is she still around?
No, she passed away back about 20 years ago.
She couldn't have given you advice about being mayor because you didn't probably have that gleam in your eye yet, but what did you take from her leadership?
Never give up. Always look forward, see the best in people, the best that you can, and try to work through hard situations. And even though you're not best friends with folks, you can still work with them. And so just that, she had a real strong sense of pride in her community, and that she knew that she could work through any situation with anybody, whatever situation she got into. And I watched her do that when I was very young. And I think it stuck with me pretty hard.
So you may have had an early inkling that being in public office is a way you could serve.
Yeah, I did. Probably back, I was in the city council in the city of Novinger back in the early 1980s. And then got married and moved out into the countryside. And so the city life here in the community wasn't possible. But then when I moved back down here, I really wanted to get back involved in the community again. So here we are.
Even though very few people still living in Novinger have a direct memory of the mines that used to pepper the hills around the town, I wanted to know how the legacy of the mines affects modern-day Novinger.
Does the presence of those mines concern people, or are people pretty cool with, like, they're there, they're safe?
The mines are 50 years removed. I mean, they've been closed for over 50 years now. And you will find places, and I could show you some, where like they once stood and where they were at. But for the most part, you'll find a shale pile, which I guess was the product that came up out of the ground. And there's no mine shafts. They've all been closed. Now the buildings are completely dilapidated and gone. So they've been reclaimed for the most part, outside of a little bit of rock. And you can find those outcroppings where those shale piles are at now, currently. But you can't define the structures, they're gone. So it's a part of our past, but we really have to build towards our future because the mines are not currently part of anything that we have going on here.
How is that former mine land used now? I know there was like 60 mines over 60 years.
As far as what I've seen moving up here in the late 1970s until now, most of those properties, I would say for the most part, are cattle farms, and what's left with the rock outcroppings or the shale piles, the cattle actually are on those grounds grazing around those sites, and it really doesn't take up that much of the land structure as far as that's concerned. So it's mainly pasture grounds where it's at.
To show me how the former Novinger area mines now look, Mayor Jeff Dodson and I headed a few miles out of town. He showed me a former mine site that's now a grassy hillside used as a farmer's pasture. On another hill above town, Mayor Dodson showed me a crossroads where a cluster of former mine worker houses sat across from a highway junction. The nearly century-old homes, now 70 years removed from housing miners and their families, are modest and remodeled and still in use. The mayor took me to another hill above town where we saw a massive pile of cinders that remains from another former mine. The city has tried creative uses for these slag heaps, using them as roadbeds, but that makes drivers upset with the city when their cars get dirtied after rains turn the town's gravel and dirt roads into mucky red paths that spray auto bodies. The town has also used slag heap cinders as fill as they demolish the 18 structures that their city's state grant allows them to take down. Back in town, Chevy's Bar hosted a half dozen farmers who were playing cards and enjoying mid-afternoon beers on a Monday. Gail Greathouse owns the bar with her husband and talked with me about her concerns for the future of Novinger, a town whose modern fortunes are closely linked with that of Kirksville, which lies just 8 miles down Highway 6 to the east.
Well, I'm concerned with Novinger's future due to the decline in Kirksville. You know, we're just kind of a suburb of Kirksville. And, you know, if the main hub is not growing, your smaller communities around it are not growing either. So, you know, there is some concern there.
Is Kirksville shrinking?
I believe Kirksville is shrinking due to so many businesses closing. and no new businesses opening.
The mayor had echoed that if you have a white-collar job, you're safe, and that's sort of recession-proof in Kirksville, but the factories and the blue-collar jobs in Kirksville are slowly
dwindling. Yes, they are dwindling, and you know, I hate to see it for this area because I like Novinger. The people here are great, you know, friendly, and I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so I came from a very big city, and you know, opposed to living here, after you've been in a small community many years, it's hard to go back to a big city, and I think that's why you keep so many people here.
As available blue-collar jobs at Kirksville factories decline, so do opportunities for residents of Novinger. Besides being town historian, Glenna Young and her family are a case study for the brain drain that continues to impact Novinger's graduates. Young's two children graduated from Novinger High School, the home of the Wildcats, thank you, and moved to Columbia to study at the University of Missouri. After graduation, they never moved back to Novinger. There just don't exist many work opportunities for college-educated graduates from Novinger.
How was it for you when you who love Novinger, and you're pro-Novinger all the way, and you've raised your kids here, and you love your kids, and you want them to be successful, and they go away to school, and you'd love to have them back, maybe. How is that?
Well...
We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
It's just hard right now because my daughter is leaving.
Yeah.
Let me regroup here. I never expected my kids to live immediately here because there weren't any jobs. And to do what they wanted to do, I just knew they were going to live somewhere else. You know, I feel very lucky because I have some really good friends and that I've known forever, and we get together. You know, I listen to their woes about their kids and things that go on with them, and I just know how lucky I am. So, yeah.
You raised them right.
They're out doing what they're supposed to do, and I'm here doing what I'm supposed to do.
You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on 91.3 FM KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. You're listening to some of my visit with Glenna Daniels Young. She's a town historian for the city of Novinger. That's in North Missouri in western Adair County, just 8 miles west of the city of Kirksville, off of Missouri Highway 6. I was visiting recently with Glenna Daniels Young, and we were discussing her efforts to revitalize the community and also to promote the history of the town to newcomers who may not be aware of what has transpired in that town over the last century and a half, and to create opportunities for tourists to come and engage in the history of the area. Glenna Daniels Young works with Novinger Renewal as a way to preserve the area's history and promote it to newcomers. One of the things that she does to encourage that is she produces the town's de facto newspaper in a newsletter format. It's called Novinger Renewal. She's been doing it for a number of years. And the publication goes out across the United States to Novinger residents and those who've left town but want to maintain a connection with their place of origin.
Is part of Novinger Renewal about keeping people active in town and giving people something to dig in and work around?
Giving them a reason to want to stay or want to come. You know, we try to do different community activities throughout the year that we hope will involve people. We hope that we try to involve people that have moved to this area that, you know, they want to become, they want to have a sense of community. Because really that's what it'll take to build the area and to keep people here.
So what are the projects? What kind of things have you found that people like to sink their teeth into and do? Or is that a process?
It's a process, and different people have real interest in different things. You know, we did Coal Miner Days for 27 years and used that event to give people a sense of purpose in that it took a lot of volunteers to be able to pull the event off. And so different people had to take the leads with different parts of the event. And, you know, whether it was baking pies or manning a stand or chairing the baby show. You know, it gives people a sense of community because they're a part of it. And we continue to do the craft show. We did that again this year for the 28th year. And again, they feel like they are part of the community because they are doing something to participate in it, whether it's working in the kitchen or manning the front door and greeting people or selling souvenirs or baking something for the bake sale. Danny.
Huh?
Your bag makes noise.
It's part of it will tell people that we sat at your dining room table while your husband ate his chips or whatever he had.
It's a cellophane bag with Christmas candy in it.
Have you found over time the pool of people that will work on Novinger Renewal, are they longtime people? Are they newcomers wanting to get connected? A little of both?
A little of both. When we had a larger pool of volunteers, it was the people that had lived in the community for a long time and families that had been here and really did family activities. Now, you know, we have more of a transient population in this area. It's not necessarily a good thing, but you do want to try to invite them to be a part of the community as long as they can and really give them pride in the community and have a purpose.
While people keep leaving Novinger, Missouri for greener pastures, some are moving in. While the city lost population in the last few census counts, Mayor Jeff Dotson tells me that enrollment at Novinger's Adair County R1 school district has increased 19% in the past year. This reflects a tendency for younger families to seek out the small-town atmosphere that is reflected, in part, in the halls of Novinger's school. Novinger High School hosts its homecoming this Friday evening. What's next for Novinger? Mayor Jeff Dotson looks forward to possibly getting a new water source when the East Locust Creek Reservoir creates a 2,500-acre recreational lake within 10 miles of town. Novinger presently buys its water from the city of Kirksville. The mayor is also bullish on Nemo Telephone Company's plans to lay fiber optic cable throughout town, which is expected to greatly increase internet speed in Novinger. Novinger will host a rest stop on late June's Cross-State Bike Across Missouri or BAM ride organized by Off Track Events, the people who brought you the Peddler's Jamboree. More information about Novinger can be found at cityofnovinger.com. The City of Novinger is also on Facebook. There's images there from the town's history, as well as images of the ongoing demolition program funded by a state community development block grant. You can listen to past episodes of Thinking Out Loud on our website, kbia.org. Click on Programs. That's where you'll find Thinking Out Loud. Thanks to my guest on this program, Novinger Mayor Jeff Dotson, Novinger Renewal's Glenna Daniels-Young, and Chevy's bar owner, Gail Greathouse. For my fellow producer, Darren Helwidge, I'm Trevor Harris, thanking you for listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.